Let's go to the top of the hill.
And here she comes, and the valley roars. Cometh the hour, cometh the legend. Greatness, Weeks has done it.
Jungle Edge is going well. It's a muddy marble.
Val Declare kicks. Val Declare's won it for Australia. They're on top of the world.
I'm on top of the world. Hey. I'm on top of the world. Hey.
With the voice of Victorian racing, Matt Hill.
Matty Hill, the star of racing.com, the voice of Victorian racing, joins us as he does each and every Tuesday. How are you, Matty?
Hi, Michael. Yes, lovely to talk to you. And, well, what a terrific week. We've got an intriguing meeting tomorrow, haven't we? And then can't wait for the final field to get put together for the Caulfield Cup. Who knows? El Galale might be there after the Coongee tomorrow. Doesn't it add some intrigue that the Coongee's been moved back to the Wednesday? It was, of course, last year that Wolf won it, and Gay Waterhouse had a late horse go into the Caulfield Cup, so it might happen tomorrow as well.
It certainly does add that intrigue, and I know we're very lucky to have you on this morning because you've got a lot of work to do today, trying to study those colours for the Blue Sapphire tomorrow. How many three-horse fields or two-horse fields have you called before?
Gee, not many. I remember my first ever call I ever did over the public address was at Healesville Picnics when I was about 17, and there was a field of two. They can probably be a bit more difficult because race callers rely on the script in front of you, and if you've got a field of 15 or 16, there's plenty happening, so there's no way of running out of things to say. But with a small field, it can be difficult. But I reckon tomorrow, it adds that element of intrigue, doesn't it? It also adds the tactics factor into the race. And it might just be a simple case of Anders. We know what a cruising speed the horse has and how fast he is. He might just break their hearts. But if they go a bit soft on Anders, and then that allows the other two to get into the race, and they're no mugs, in particular Hanseatic, who is top class and was so spectacular, of course, in a Blue Diamond Prelude at that very track at Caulfield. So I think it's an interesting talking point, having the three, and it probably built the race up a little bit more, having the smaller field. And last year we had 11 starters. The year before, I believe, we had six. So there's certainly no reflection on the race. It's just the fact that the Anders factor has scared a few away.
Well, it is only 1,200 metres and they still go quick, but maybe you might be able to throw in a little quirky tale or something about what you're having for dinner or anything like that just to fill in the time, because there's been a few famous match races. You remember the Bert Bryant one, and probably at Caulfield we had the three-horse Winx race, but there was another very special race which ironically was held on this day a few years ago.
Yeah, it's a terrific excuse to show it or play it, isn't it? Because it happened on this day some 28 years ago, 1992. Both Let's All Open better loosen up. They needed a hit out heading towards a Cox Plate. And, of course, it turned out to be a famous Cox Plate that year. They were both in the finish, in a dramatic finish when Superimpose ran past them. But it was David Hayes with Better Loosen Up and Bart Cummings with Let's All Open. They decided to take on each other, and they called it the Tab Challenge because they needed someone to throw some money in, and the Tab did that. And I believe it was $35,000 that was put up. And I remember rushing home from school to listen to this unique event, a match race at Caulfield, and it added so much interest to the day. Of course, it was Thousand Guineas Day back then, and this is Brian Martin's call.
Let's a Lope's drawn a half length in front. Better Loosen Up is trying to come back on the inside. Let's a Lope's a neck in front of the 150 metre mark. Better Loosen Up trying with every stride, but the mare's got the edge near the line. Dittman throws everything at her, and Let's a Lope wins the challenge a length and a half to Better Loosen Up. A marvellous performance by two great horses here in the TAB Super Challenge.
You could hear the crowd cheering them on there as well. It's going to be an intriguing element to tomorrow. You know, how will they ride Anders as well? And then, of course, that's the middle peg of what is a huge week for you, because it's the three feature days, and you called magnificently on Guineas Day, as you always do. And then we build up to the Cup on Saturday, the Stella Artois Caulfield Cup. And how do you rate the Caulfield Cup as far as difficulty in calling? Obviously, the Melbourne Cup is probably the most pressurised race, but the Caulfield Cup, full field, where does it sit amongst your, I suppose, hard races and pressure races that you call each year?
Well, I think the Caulfield Cup, you really have to be on your toes because, as you mentioned, the full field and 2,400 metres, it's usually a packed race and they tend to settle in an order, but then moves are made pretty early in a Caulfield Cup just due to the fact of the capacity of the field. So it's a full-on race and I enjoy calling it. I think this year is going to be intriguing. Fancy having an English Derby winner going around in a Caulfield Cup. I think that adds so much to it, and there's going to be so many different form pointers. You talked about a couple of the internationals with Dashing Willoughby there with Michael Walker. He looks like a horse that, judging by his Queen's Vase victory in England, that if he can just find a position, in particular in a Melbourne Cup, he can certainly run over the top of them off a hot speed. So I think we've got some really interesting horses this year. And as I mentioned, with a couple that are going to be late inclusions, such as Chapada from last Saturday, and also possibly a horse for tomorrow from tomorrow's Coogee. I think we're going to have a really interesting field.
There's no doubt about that. There's been so many great Caulfield Cups over the years, and you've pulled one out of the archives, which was a rare win that we don't often see in a Caulfield Cup.
No, that's right. And you mentioned favourite calls. I think this is one of my my favourites. Caulfield Cups have been so dramatic over the years. I mean, Beander Cross Mannerism, you don't get much better than that. Of course, Torfan's Melody year, were trained by Lady Herries when knocked over half the field in the straight, including the subsequent Melbourne Cup winner. The list goes on. Northerly, of course, up on the speed, leading all the way. Might and Power making an absolute demolition of them. And then in more recent times, really thrilling finish with Best Solution a couple of years just holding on. But for mine, it was a horse that was trained by Lee Friedman, ridden by Danny Nikolic, who had never really led all of the way in his entire life. But it got to the Caulfield Cup. He was drawn barrier number 13. The only time he'd led in his life was in a maiden race at Kilmore when he led there. I think it was his fifth race start. And it was a masterful ride Mummify, of course, to win the Caulfield Cup. They were coming at him late, but he was able to stave them off.
Mummify is going for home in the Caulfield Cup. Nikolic has it out by three lengths to Hugs Dancer. Ain't seen nothing. Platinum Scissors. Then came Distinctly Secret. And further back is Honor Bay. But Mummify is well clear at the 150. He's three lengths in front of Distinctly Secret. Hugs Dancer. Maccabi Diva. Mummify getting tired. Distinctly Secret. Grey Song fly out right back. Mummify has won the Caulfield Cup. A great all the way win.
And not easy to do either, Michael, to lead all of the way in such a grand race. He was a terrific horse, Mummify. He ended up going and winning the Singapore International Cup when that race was at its zenith. Went on to win a Caulfield Stakes. And sadly, the Caulfield Cup was a big part of that horse's history because he broke down in the race 2 years after winning it and unfortunately had to be euthanized after it. So a real part of Caulfield Cup history is the all-the-way win and the great call of Greg Miles with Mummify.
Yeah, absolutely. And those owners with Mummify, including Johnny O'Neill, will be looking for another Caulfield Cup with Warning on Saturday.
Yes.
And Matty, have you... I know we haven't had final field or barrier drawn. It looks like that Mustajir and Raheem House may even accept after track work this morning. Mugatu's going to go to a Cox plate. But in your mind, where we sit on a Tuesday, who are the major contenders in as far as you see Saturday's Caulfield Cup?
I think Mirage Dancer was terrific in Sydney. I'm a fan of the horse. Obviously, very elegant. He's going so well. You mentioned Warning, just ticking over beautifully for a Caulfield Cup as well. So they're three names that immediately come to mind. And look, Chapada's turned a corner, judging by what we saw last Saturday. So has to run well, you would think. But what's interesting about the Coogee tomorrow is, of course, Elgar Lael, if he was to win, he would get in because he's already in the list of nominations for the Caulfield Cup. So, for instance, if a horse like Nonconformist won, he's dropped out of the running there, so he won't go in. But, I think I'm looking forward to it. About 2 or 3 o'clock tomorrow when the final field comes out, we can have a good look at the maps and see how it's all going to play out.
Absolutely. So you're sticking with the locals, not so much the internationals.
I think at this stage, yeah, I'm going with what I know, but I think that Metropolitan form will stand up pretty well in a Caulfield Cup. So, yeah, at this stage, I'm going with Mirage Dancer.
All right. Have you done the form for Wednesday, or is that today?
I have. Day? No, I've done the form. It's a really good card. My best is early in the day, and my best value, there's a horse that's going around in the staying race, race number 5, but I thought Mustaf would be hard to beat for Chris Waller, fourth up over 2,400 metres. He's been running some good sectionals late in Sydney, and early on in the program, I've actually tipped Al Ghulail as my best. And I wouldn't be ignoring the mare Gamay either early in the day in race number 3. So there's a few names for you.
All right, Matty, we will look forward to your magnificent calls tomorrow and, of course, on Caulfield Cup Day. What do you do to prepare? Are you like a finely tuned athlete before running out onto the ground in a prelim or a grand final? What's your Friday preparation?
Look, I tend to just have a bit of a sip through the colours. I would have done all my work before that, but... Yeah, pretty quiet day. Just try and keep the mind fresh. It's a bit like a computer, I find. If you over bombard it, it slows down. So I just try and keep it fresh. And I'll keep having a look at the colours and having a look at the horses. Yeah, can't wait to get there over the next week at Caulfield. It's just a great time of year. It's why we do it, to get to these big days. So it was weird on Saturday, I must confess. It felt like a bit of a film set there on Saturday. There was, so many television crews, and that was basically it. There was no other public there. So it has been a different year, and all I could hear through the race was the Channel 7 chopper over the top. So it's a sound I'm going to get used to over the next 3 or 4 weeks, but we just have to embrace how unique it is, and thank goodness, and hopefully it's only for 1 year.
Yep, absolutely, and thank goodness we've got you to paint the picture so beautifully as you do. Good luck tomorrow and on Saturday, Matty. We'll speak then.
Good on you, Mick. Look forward.